lives for us individually and for us as a group. But before we get started today, I want to pray, okay? So let's pray. God, thank you that we get to gather together freely to open your word, to learn from the words that you have spoken and shared and have commanded us. God, we thank you that while we gather together as a middle school group, we are also gathered together as the church around the world, that we recognize that there are many gathered today to worship you and to hear your word proclaimed, and they're gathering in secret and in fear that if they're found out, they could be put in jail or killed. And God, we thank you so much that we're free to openly do this and openly live out our faith without worry. God, would you speak through me and help us to have attentive ears and hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so how many of you in here have heard of Alexander the Great? At least heard the name. Right. So Alexander the Great was a Greek king known for his military power and might. Right? He conquered a lot of people. He expanded the kingdom pretty drastically during his reign. Now, there's a legend about him. It's probably not true, just given some of the dynamics of it, but there's a legend about Alexander the Great. Legend has it that during a battle, a soldier went and hid in a cave instead of fighting with the army. He went and he hid not because he was like against the war or he was all about peace or anything like that. He hid because he was afraid. He didn't want to fight. And in this time and in this army, that action was something that if like his commander would have found him doing that, the commander could have killed him instantly without any punishment because that guy was being a coward instead of fighting. It's a pretty drastic thing. But once in a while, instead of being killed, they would be put on trial, thought to be an example so that they would be told around the kingdom of this person hiding, and it was kind of embarrassing. And so this soldier is taken to Alexander the Great, and the soldier goes in, and he's standing before the king. And the king says, "Soldier, what is your name?" And the soldier replies, "My name is Alexander, sir." And something inside the king's mind, like a switch flips, and it's no longer a finding out who is standing before me, but it's a question again that is repeated, and it's a little louder this time. And the king says, "Soldier, what is your name?" And the soldier looks at the king and says, "My name is Alexander, sir." And at this point now, the king is infuriated. The soldier doesn't fully understand why, but the king is infuriated, and he looks at the soldier and he says, "Soldier, what is your name?" And the soldier is kind of realizing that this isn't like a happy-go-lucky meeting the king type thing, and he's in a lot of trouble. And the king, or the soldier replies in like that shy, timid tone, like when you know you're in trouble, like, my name is Alexander, sir." The king lets this long pause go by, and you know how awkward silence can make things feel like an eternity. This guy's probably there sweating like crazy, thinking, "I'm gonna die. This guy's gonna kill me." And Alexander the Great looks at the soldier and says, "Son, change your name or change your ways." See, King Alexander the Great, took so much pride in his name, Alexander, and that he was a king and he was a warrior, that he did not want a man who would be known as a coward to share his same name, because he did not want the name Alexander to be associated with the name coward. Now, while that story may or may not be true, I don't know that we'll ever know, I think it serves as an awesome illustration and example for us as Christians. Because, see, in Christianity, while we're not about what we're against, Christianity is about what we are for, and we are for Christ, and we are for love. But when we become Christians, we become adopted sons and daughters of our God in heaven. Like, if you look around the room real quick, everybody in here who's following Jesus is your brother or sister, because you are adopted by God in heaven. We are a family. So, like, when we talk about we are a family, we are a church, we are a community, all of that stuff stems out of the Bible, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But what I want you guys to realize is when we are adopted, we get the name that Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit has. We represent God in heaven when we become Christians. And we share that name. We become Christians. Christ followers. Christian starts with Christ, right? We become Christians. We get the name of the guy that we are following and giving our lives to. What do you think life would be like if we, as Christians, had the same passion for our name as Christians, as Alexander the Great did for his name. It'd be a pretty radically different world, wouldn't it? Pretty awesome world. So what I want you guys to think about today is, as the body of Christ, right? We are the church, the body of Christ, as Christians. We are to be known by our love. That's the thing that I want you guys to walk away from here today. As Christians, as the body of Christ, we are to be known by our love, or known for our love. And Jesus actually commands this. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But in 1 Thessalonians, which we talked about last week, we looked at what it meant to be made new. And we had a few points about how we accept the gospel, how we pray for one another, and how we live lives radically different and radically loving, so different than the world around us that we are noticed. The change Jesus makes in our lives as individuals is noticed. Right? That's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to take that, and we're going to talk about us as a whole. So us as a whole, meaning those of us who are here following Jesus, who are part of his body, the church, what does it look like to live made new as a community and as a family? Okay? And in order to do that, we need to start with understanding that as Christians, as the body of Christ, we must be known for our love. Okay? So we're going to look at John chapter 13 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 31. It's only a couple verses today, 31 through 35. I'm going to read it out of the NIV today because it's a little clearer at the beginning. The beginning, Jesus gets really wordy and says a lot of words to convey a pretty simple message. So I'm going to read that out of the NIV. But we're going to look at John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. And listen while I read. See if you can hear, because it's pretty stinking obvious in this passage. See if you can hear where Jesus is telling us to be known by our love. Alright? So, in John chapter 13, verse 31, it says, "When he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer, and you will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.'" So, there's not a whole lot of question mark around what Jesus is saying. But this passage is so cool. I want to walk through it really, really quickly and kind of end with a challenge for you guys. And something to think about to come back to small groups with on Wednesday, all right? So if we start in verse 1, "When he was gone, Jesus said." So this, if you're looking at the ESV, it says when he has gone, when he had gone out. So Jesus and his disciples are having their last supper. And Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. If you look back in chapter 13, in the beginning, the title says Jesus washes his disciples' feet, right? And then he also serves the first ever communion at this last supper together. They're having one last meal. Judas gets up and leaves the table because he's going to the Pharisees to betray Jesus. Okay? And so when he was gone, meaning Judas has left the room, Jesus says to the other 11 disciples, because there's 12 disciples, minus one is 11. So Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is now glorified," or is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And he goes on through 31 and 32. And it's a lot of words, right? A lot of words to essentially communicate that I am God's Son, I am glorifying God the Father is glorifying me, and together we are glorified. Right? That's the simple version of that. Right? And so he tells them that because the disciples, if they had been listening to everything Jesus said over the course of Jesus' life with them, would have known that what Jesus was saying was essentially, hey, the time that I've been talking about, the time for me to conquer what I came to conquer, is here. And that's why verse 33, he says, "My children," meaning his disciples and those close to him, "I will be with you only a little longer." Just a little while. Wasn't that exact moment, but that time is coming when Jesus is going to be arrested and tried and killed. "I will be with you only a little longer, for you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, come, where I am going, you cannot come." One, a live person cannot die. Well, they can die, but they can't go to death being alive. Right? So so they couldn't go until they died. But also, Jesus is dying for the sins of the world. That's something that even in our death, we can't do. We can't offer anybody forgiveness from their sins. We can offer people forgiveness for wrongs they did to us, but we can't forgive other people's sins. Jesus can. We cannot go sit on the throne of Jesus. That's where Jesus is going, right? So we cannot go where Jesus is going, and he's preparing. So he's telling his disciples that, hey, I'm leaving. The time has come. Here's what I expect of you. And that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time today. A new command. Look at verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. So if you are familiar at all with the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament laws was that you do unto others as they would do to you, or you love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of religions talk about this golden rule. You treat others as you want to be treated. And the guy who's the foundation of that very thought and lifestyle is now telling his disciples that, hey, I'm giving you a new command. Do this. But this command's not new. It's actually really old. It's older than Jesus' life on earth. It's older than any of the disciples living on this earth. These disciples would have been taught this rule by their parents growing up. So why is it a new rule? Anybody have any ideas? How's an old rule a new rule? So, this is why it's new. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. In the past, it's been based on our selfish, broken, sinful understanding of love. Right? And nobody in here is perfect. But guess what? We now have the perfect example of love in Jesus. Jesus is calling us to love each other as he loves us. He's taken that command to love one another, or treat, love your neighbor as yourself, and he's upped it. He's raised the bar, and he says, it's not good enough. You need to love those around you. Look around this room one more time. Your brothers and sisters in this room, you're to love them as Jesus loves you. Now put this in some context. So Judas has just left. Before Judas left, he was sitting at the dinner table with Jesus. Jesus is talking with him. He's including him. He's feeding him. And at one point, Jesus gets up and, like a servant, washes his disciples' feet. He did not skip over Judas when he got to Judas. Knowing that Judas was going to betray him, Jesus gets down on his hands and knees and he washes Judas's feet. Jesus washed Judas's feet, knowing that Judas was about to go out and set in motion the night that was Jesus going to be arrested, tried, and executed. And Judas served him. Or Jesus. Judas did not serve him. Jesus served him. Jesus loved on him. Because that's who Jesus is. And that is kind of, not kind of, that is the point of what Jesus is getting at here. Our job is not to love when we feel like it or have the energy or the capacity to do it. It's not to be nice when other people are being nice to us. It is to love in all circumstances. Because Jesus loved through people lying about him. Jesus loved through people trying to stab him in the back, both literally and figuratively. Jesus loved through death. Jesus loved through coming back to life. Jesus loves still today, sitting in heaven, cheering you on before our Father. It's pretty amazing. So what I want you guys to start thinking about is what if we are as passionate about the name Christian and what that represents as Alexander was about his name and what that represents. If Alexander was that passionate about his name that thousands of years later we're talking about a man who did nothing but kill people. Well, he ruled too, but his reputation is not great. He named himself Alexander the Great. We're still talking about him because he was passionate about the name in which he bore. If you are here and you are following Jesus, you bear the name Christian. And that is more greater than any other name on the face of the earth. You get to bear that name. What if you were passionate about what that represented? Both you and individually you, but us as a whole. Right? Jesus ends this little teaching saying, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are to radically love each other so much that the people around us, in our schools, in our community, even in our homes, they look at us and they see there's something different because we love. We are known by our love. To be known for your love takes a lot of patience and a lot of love, something that we cannot do on our own. We need Jesus. We are made new. We are changed by Christ, and it is only through Christ that we can love as he's called us to love. So as you guys go out this week, I want you to really, really think about the life that would be experienced in this room and in your small group rooms on Wednesday and at home with your families if we all chose to be this passionate about the name Christian, about loving one another as Christ loves us. I want you to think about it because I want you to come back with ideas on Wednesday about what that looks like. But think about the bonds and the depth of friendship that we would have for one another if we all loved as Christ loved us. Think about that. Think about the fact that the guy who left dinner to betray Jesus left with clean feet because they were cleaned by the guy that he was betraying. Because Jesus loves us that much. And that's what he's calling us to. And we're not capable of it unless we are made new, unless we are changed, and we come together into this body, and we realize that we are made new and changed, and we don't deserve that. And so when we realize that, and that's in our brains, when somebody doesn't deserve to be loved, it's easier to love them because we know that we are loved even when we don't deserve it. All because Jesus loves us that much. So as Jesus said, love as I have loved you, and by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The body of Christ must be known for its love. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that you've loved us so much that you came and left heaven, left your throne, left your power, left all things to come and live as a human being, live on this earth and walk with us sinners, to give us an example to follow, to give us a new command, a new standard of love. And then you live that out. You live what you were preaching as you were saying it, God. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the cross and forgiveness. We thank you for the hope that we have in life with you and life together in the community and the church that you've called us to. God, I pray that you would be on our hearts and minds and help us to love those around us so radically that people notice there's something different about us and want to be part of this community. God, we love you. We praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you guys could